A good life. We want to have a good life, right? None of us say, you know what, I really don't like to have a good life. I really want to have a bad life. None of us say that. None of us say, oh, I want to have an awful life. No, we all want to have a good life. The question is, what is it? How do we define a good life? The scripture reading today we have comes from the Ecclesiastes. It is known that the King Solomon wrote this book. It tells us his effort to find a good life and his struggles that most human beings, just like you and me, we are struggling with. And Solomon was the wealthiest guy in the Israel history. He was the son of David, and he had houses in every city in Jerusalem and Israel. We don't know how many houses he had. He built a really amazing temple in Jerusalem. He built a fabulous palace, his home. And in his palace, he had indoor and outdoor pool in the middle of the desert. Can you imagine that? About 3,000 years ago, he built that. And he had 1,000 wives and concubines. Okay? Just for a second. 1,000 wives and concubines. That doesn't sound wise. Yes, we know. In his time, king's marriage was all about political and diplomatic actions, so I get that, but I still don't think that was so wise. But King Solomon, his marriage tells us that so many countries around Israel, they wanted to make treaties and become friends. And he had a large number of chariots and so many other things. And in our scripture reading, he says he was the one always looking for something which he thinks makes him happy. But in the end of his life, he said, you know what? I tried to do so many things. I tried to have so many stuff. But that was meaningless. William Irvin, a professor of philosophy at Wright State University, in his book, A Guide to Good Life, Irvin suggests two obstacles that we struggle to have a good life. The first one is our belief. The belief that the more we have, the happier we will be, no matter what. I don't think it is not just about some selfish and arrogant people. Sometimes it is like, I know, I have a responsibility to the other people. I am supposed to love our neighbors. I am supposed to be just and caring. But the primary aim of my life is maximize my pleasure, my happiness, my belief, no matter what. But we know that is not true. Having more doesn't bring more happiness. Many of us have experienced that at some point in our lives. You've got all the stuff you wanted. And that happiness which a new car, a new job, a new house, or a new iPhone brought doesn't go along. And another obstacle he talks about, which many people think it is right, but actually that takes us away from the happy life, good life. It is the me-centered life. It is like, I want to be happy. I do not really care about you. I only care about myself. I want to be happy. And this has become an increasing problem in our society. It results in great pain for the people around us and so many others. A few years ago, a pastor that I know, he officiated a funeral of a young woman. He said it was the most painful funeral ever in the past 30 years of his ministry. When she was a junior high, she was sexually assaulted by 3 high school boys. And after that, she struggled with PTSD for the next few years. And she was struggling with a feeling of self-worthlessness. She struggled with a feeling of despair and depression. And one day, she took her own life. Because there were 3 boys who thought, this is what I want. I'm going to take what I want, no matter what it costs, to other people. They objectified another human being for their own pleasure. Objectifying another human being, it actually happens in so many places, not just bad people. It might be dehumanizing another human being. It might be bullying. It might be gossiping and backbiting. It might happen in our lives, in our relationship with others. It happens also in our economy and politics. So good life, it is not found in just more stuff in our lives, or more pleasure, or more possession. We know that doesn't bring joy, happiness, or satisfaction, which leads us to the good life. Then how? How do we find the good life? I don't have all the answer which fit each one of you, but I have 2 things that I want to mention today. The first one is something we need to practice. Actually, it is something you know and I know that we have to do. And it is something which many philosophers and counselors asked us. And the other one is something we need to acknowledge in our life. The first one, in our journey to be happier and to have a good life, what many people suggest is giving thanks. Giving thanks for what we have. It is to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. How simple it is, right? It is actually what the scripture says to us. It is when you stop to give thanks to God, when you stop to give thanks for what you have, and when we stop to give thanks to the people around us, we will come to appreciate more and more. It is like muscle, gratitude muscle. If you want to be healthy, you have to work out and you have to run just like that. If you want to be healthy in your spirit, we need to cultivate gratitude. And I come to think about food. We have food at least 2 or 3 times. That means we pray to God at least a couple of times a day. Am I right? Oh, I thought that I'm going to have amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we pray at least a couple of times a day for breakfast, lunch, dinner. When we do that, when we stop, when we say, God, I give you thanks for the meal. Thank you for the life, and thank you for all the grains and animals that died in order to feed me. And thank you for the people who worked really hard so that this meal can come before me. I give you thanks. We give thanks 3 times a day. And so many other things. When you wake up in the morning, you give thanks to God. God, I give you thanks for the day you bless us. Yes, I have 1 more day. We give thanks. And I think it is true in every part of our life. I think of marriage, friendship, work, and so many other things. Think about your marriage. When you get married, you are really excited, so happy. But as time goes on, you say, huh, I didn't know you are like that. I didn't know you don't clean your room. Where is your sock? Right? Don't tell me that happened in my house only. After my wife and I got married, we went to Africa as missionary. It was really good. We spent literally 24/7 a week, 24/7 every single second together. But in a year, we spent all our savings, so we were bankrupt. And I learned the power of money at that time. So we had to go back home, and I started work for an institute, a private institute. I think God was helping me a lot. I worked really hard, and the next year I became the dean of the institute, making a really good salary. And I came home late, very late from the work, usually after the midnight, sometimes 1 a.m. in the morning. And Rosa was also working a full-time work, so we didn't have much time. Think about that. In Africa, we spent every day, every single second together for a year, but now we just have time. Hello, good morning, bye-bye. We didn't have much time together, and we didn't feel so much love each other. And one day, my wife asked me, Paul, do you have a woman? What? I was just crazy working and making money, even though our relationship became a little bit dry, but I thought she knew what I was thinking, but she thought I was having an affair. Lack of expression. I thought something wrong with me, and I felt God nudging me in my spirit, in my prayer. You need to tell her. You need to show her how much you love her. You need to be grateful for her. So I tried that one. Believe it or not, I was not a romantic guy. I didn't say that ever. But I tried to make it a kind of habit to say, I love you. You are the best gift God has ever given to me. It's a habit, but I mean it. Because sometimes we need it. We need to practice and express what we are thinking to the people around us. Then I found that our relationship was getting better and better. I don't think it is not just my story, not just in marriage, but also in our relationship with a friend and neighbors and the people around us. I believe we need to say and express our gratitude to them. We need to be grateful for the friendship. We need to be thankful for the work we have. It is such a fundamental thing in life, cultivating gratitude, having gratitude muscle in your life. So Robert Emmon, a psychologist and professor, he teaches gratitude at the University of California. He says, in his scientific research, people who keep expressing gratitude for their friends, family, and the things in life, and the people who write gratitude journal, couple of things every day, and the people routinely thanking God, they are the happy people. They are happier, more fulfilled, and more flourishing people. It's proven. Why don't you say this week, thank you to your family and friends? You may think, come on, they know. They know what I think. Who knows? They might not. Sometimes we need to say, I love you, I really care about you, I have you all the time in my prayer and support. We need to do that. Once we have this habit, it positively affects our physical body and emotional health and our relationship. And we do not forget to express our gratitude to God. God, I thank you. Thank you for your presence in life. I thank you for the life you have given me, and I thank you for the day you bless us. From there, we need to go further, saying, today, God, help me. Help me to bless others. Help me to do your work. Help me to be in ministry to other people around me and beyond. Help me to take care of the people in small and big things. And that is where we begin to find the good life. That is doing what God made us to do. And I believe that is part of loving God and loving our neighbors. Yes, we know going golfing, it is the season, it may give you joy. And it is the season watching football, Green Bay Bears, that brings you a huge joy, happy. Yes.
Amen.
Maybe having a new car or a new career, everything you wanted. That may bring you joy, but we know that doesn't go long. That's not forever. And that cannot be our driving force in our life. Our driving mission, our driving force of our life is to love and to be used by God to love others. So gratitude, finding our purpose of living and being the person God created us to be. I believe that is what the scripture says, the key for us to find the good life. Let's find a good life and let's cultivate gratitude this week and next week and more. Amen.